Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters,
Peace, 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 and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of D-Knowledge Radio. Place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Alive. We are here on our Solidarity Saturday episode. We are honored to have back on the platform the poetic, creative, and transformative healing mind, backed by Plopolis, the man. The last episode with EI Africa was so astounding. The family was like, yo, I gotta have EI Africa back on the platform. So, our sister graciously agreed to come back on the platform with this latest installment, this latest heat, 720 degrees of rhyme here on the transition of our ancestor, Sandra Bland Day, on today. Texas is in the building. The spirit of our warrior ancestors are in the building. So we honor them and we welcome them and we uplift them in solidarity. And we stand in solidarity with those forces of divine essence and nature today. So that phone number to call in, family, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Queen EI Africa in the building. Black Solidarity Saturday in the building. Going down through Knowledge Radio. Your brother Knowledge Born Alive. So it becomes my honor and privilege to introduce some, present to others, and to welcome back to the platform Queen EI Africa. So many titles, so much magic about to happen right now. Tell a friend to tell a friend when you're on live with the root mother of House of Uyami Ajay, the author of A Timeless Dynasty, and author of 720 Degrees of Rhyme. The warrior queen herself, EI Africa, is in the building.
Alafia, Alafia knowledge, Kaisan, Alafia to everyone out there. Honor and a privilege to be back on Do the Knowledge Radio. Thank you for having me.
Alafia, Ikasan, Bawani.
Dadani.
Definitely an honor and privilege to have you back on here. Celebrating another milestone in a long line of culminating ancestral spirit manifesting in physical form for a timeless generation to come. 720 degrees of rhyme, and I'm honored that you chose our platform to come on and to share your journey and your thoughts. There's already enough. We have a timeless dynasty. Now we have another timeless dynasty in the form of 720 degrees of rhyme. Can you rightly divide? So I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of speak about your writing process and the confirmation process and the confirmation process. But whatever you can share about this wonderful work of art that you have decided to bless the world with.
Absolutely. 720 degrees of rhyme has been in the working for, let me just say it's long overdue. I initially began writing poetry at the age of 13 in seventh grade. English class is when I found my passion for the genre of poetry. And throughout these years, I've written, different types of poetry. I do obituary poems for those in my community who have passed on and transitioned, I should say. and for different other occasions as well. But I wanted to write something that challenged the intellect and that at the same time told a story. And I feel that's what I accomplished with 720 Degrees of Rhyme. I had a long time a friend of mine asked me the other day. I was sharing, we were talking about a poem in the novel, and he was like, that's a bit high knowledge, don't you think? I said, well, it's called 720 Degrees of Rhyme, you know. 720 is the number of a grandmaster. I think if that's the case, can you call yourself a grandmaster if you don't understand every line of the 720 degrees of rhyme? You know, we kind of laughed about it, but it was I used it as a tool to be able to talk about higher concepts of the knowledge in a way that someone would be able to understand, even if they were in kindergarten. You know, they may see one. They may be only be able to understand one level, you know, or perspective of the poem. But as they grow and learn different things, you know, they will begin to understand a lot more and appreciate its the way that it hides yet reveals so much.
It's definitely rich in details and description. So was this the original amount of pieces that you wanted to compile together? Were these written for the express interest of this particular book? Or did you have to sift through like a couple hundred pieces and go through like a, you know, maybe this one, maybe that one type for the poems that we have or the pieces that we have compiled into this book?
With the exception of about two of them, I would say they all were written for this project. And, you know, they were written within the last 2 years, I should say. I wanted them to be all new, you know, and even the two that were already written, they were pieces that I had never shared anywhere, written or spoken word video. So they were new to the public. But yes, they all were written for the purpose of this project. So all new, never before shared anywhere on any platform ever.
Amazing. So we got the new. So the family
right.
Need to be honest because we got the new from our sacred mother here. Was there a significance about the particular date? I know the release date was set for, I believe, what, May 2nd?
May 1st.
May 1st. Forgive me. May 1st.
Well, yes and no. It's interesting that you asked that. That time of the year actually is very important, and it's an anniversary. For my mother, a type of anniversary. But as far as me picking that date, it was really kind of a me pushing myself to put a date on it because I had been working on the project for about 2 years. And just me knowing myself, you know, I'll give myself a round of about time. But then once that round of about time comes, I have to have a date. And I believe I released that date on your show. You know, I just chose to pick a date to solidify it. And that's what I did. I don't, when it comes to things like that, I don't, in a sense, plan, you know, specifically too far, you know, in the future, but I do set goals for myself for different projects.
Well, that's really interesting. I'm acting like I wasn't there. Can you hear that? You know what I'm saying? That's how much of a fan I am. You know, I got lost in it. You see what I'm saying? Like, you was there, but oh, yeah, I was. All right, my bad. Okay. You know, I don't want no trouble. So I'm honored to you for these sacred writings here. Every time I see a list, I have to ask, did you have this all together in your head before you sat down to compile and put each piece together as it would follow one another? Is it a story behind the arrangement? Or did,
yes,
as you were putting things together, did something just come to you? Okay, this one needs to go next. This one needs to go next. Is it?
It's kind of a both. When I initially started it, I didn't have it set out to where it would tell a story. But as I began writing them, I kind of realized that they were telling a story. A lot of the pieces that I write, you know, I feel as though my tagline is "My pen bleeds the voices of a million ancestors slain." You know, I feel as if these writings are written somewhere within the etheric blackness of the cosmos. You know, out there, all those billions and billions and billions of stars that we see and all that unknown, they're out there somewhere. They exist. And I like to think that I channel them and bring them to this dimension. So upon receiving each piece, I realized that I was receiving from the universe as well as living this pathway that was being unfolded to me and through me in a poetic form. So as the project continued, you know, I realized that it was, you know, indeed a continuous story. Each piece can stand alone when you read it, and it wouldn't sound like it's missing something or that it's a part of something else. But yet when you read them from start to finish in the placement that they are, in the order that they are in the book, yes, it tells the continuous journey that one finds themselves, the journeys, I should say, that we find ourselves on while on this path of awakening.
So my favorite piece for today, because, you know, it changes day by day, for today is the hidden one. The hidden one. And today, on Sands of Land Day, you know, if we think about the type of tactics that these folks use to try to hide what they had done, you know, to our sister. And the tactics that they use to conceal the power of the divine feminine, the great mother, you know, all of these tactics that were used over periods of time to African women in general, you know, kind of spoke to me today, just looking on page 13, on the 13th, you know, really going into a space, and I got a little heated. You know, and then I got a little cool. You understand what I'm saying? So it was like a myriad of emotions just thinking about inaction on the part of the divine masculine in these situations, you know, that compliment, that it's almost like betrayal, you know, on a deeper level. So to me, kind of trying to put everything together to, you know, articulate it in a way, you know, the hidden one kind of had many different facets for me today.
Absolutely. Wow. You know, that there again, you know, that goes back to what I was saying, you know, I feel as if they're written somewhere, you know. Yeah, you know, that did happen on the 13th of July. And that poem, wow, is on page 13 of the novel. Sandra Bland, Ibaye, Our Sister Rise in Power. I can remember when that happened. You know, that, of course, happened in my state. And I would say probably about 5 days after that happened, I was driving. At the time, I had a Dodge Durango. I was driving my truck, and I was headed somewhere. And interestingly enough, at this time, I had just went and purchased a firearm, and you have to wait, you know, the certain allotted time for, you know, them to do your background check and all that so that you can get it legally. So mine, you know, took longer than what it should have. And during that time, I got stopped by the, you know, by the local police. And at the time, I had a suspended license as well. And he stopped me and came to the window. And he asked me for my license. I told him that I did not have one. And he said, was there any reason why I didn't have one? I said, well, because I know legally I'm not required to. You know, and that's that tone of voice and whatnot, you know. And he just kind of looked at me, and he was like, okay, you're free to go. You know, and but for a moment, you know, it obviously, of course, you know, then it's fresh, you know, in my mind. And you know, it just took me back for a moment, you know, and you speaking about that, you know, letting it be known, you know, that it today is that anniversary, that is, you know, that there's no such thing as coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. It's only divine appointments. And that is amazing, you know, that that lines up with even the content of that poem. Again, I want to say Sandra Bland, Ibaye, Reside in Power.
I don't have the, you know, the voice of God, you know. I don't have the voice of God, you know. Queen Iyaga has a way of delivering a piece that could restore your soul, you know. So if you are in the mood, I should say, is it possible you could read this poem?
Yeah, absolutely. In honor of all that we just discussed and considering, absolutely. As you said, it's titled The Hidden One. Kidnapped, the princess is stowed away aboard a pirate ship, the one who rightfully reigns over the Gaza Strip. Locked amidst the cargo, disguised as a man, censorship. Her guards did slumber, their focus went asunder. With one eye they did not watch, with two they were deceived. Kidnapped, the princess is harbored between worlds. Semantics create subliminal undertones that throw off the unlearned. Their tactics of camouflage doth disguise her well. Their motto of secrecy ever baffles the blind, while Demeter measures the progress of the unconfined.
Captured and seized, our beloved lady is gone. Shanghaied at twilight, by noon they overthrew her throne. They turned up the heat to 720 degrees Fahrenheit, then harnessed from her a beam of ultraviolet light. She now lay entombed in Earth's womb, hidden from all satellites. Hijacked is the temple of the highest mind, skyjacked by the gray clouds of the third kind. They make off with the jewels of the crown and scepter. They endeavor to create apocalyptic weapons, but beneath the layers, she keeps on pressing. Soothsayers and naysayers went off course in their circumnavigation, did not flip and reverse the map, took the wrong path at the bifurcation. And to the one who delivered the final blow atop her head, surely you must know that soul isn't dead. Her honor shall be avenged, and that day ye shall dread. I shall...
Now, see, that's why I couldn't do it. You understand? There's no way I could convey that in that kind of manner and tone and vibration and restorative spiritual application. So, I need to get this book. You know, I need to get this book right here. Man, it was just so much, again, even in the artistry. And the pictures painted in the psychology between each word, every word having a meaning in the resonance. And so much of the journey and the sojourn of the African woman is here, rich, you know, even down to locked amidst the cargo disguised as a man, censorship. All of the now masculine appetitions in regards to divinity, you know, being removed from the centers of power and being replaced to suit ego. You understand what I'm saying? So much of that type of vibe right there. You know, her guards this slumber, their focus when it's under. So no matter what they did, they could not stop this from resurfacing. You know, everything that they tried, you know, was to no avail to them. So even with this situation with, you know, our ancestor Sandra Bland, like they tried. And then you could hear people, you know, about on each side, African people split on the subject. She should have complied and she should have been, you understand what I'm saying? Like all of this stuff, like that I heard from coward men, you see what I'm saying, was crazy. Yeah. You know, like all of this stuff that happened, all of these things that took place, and, you know, come to find out that they were targeting her, just like this poem was saying about the great mother. You see what I'm saying? They knew who she was when they pulled her over. They knew exactly who she was when they pulled her over.
I see.
So, like, all of these things, as this time develops, and this was 2015, things was coming out. It's even if you look back at May of this year, you know, now her footage is being released. You see what I'm saying? So all of these things, like, no, like you can't hide this away. You can't lock this away. And that trooper who committed the acts thought he was going to go unscathed. So, you know, there's a penalty in regards to justice that's associated. So just a whole thing right there, like her honor shall be avenged, and that day he shall dread. He's dreading that day. You see what I'm saying? So that's a microcosm of a macrocosm for all who were complicit, all who were in silent agreement, you know. this day of reckoning is upon us for our inability to intervene and our inability to stand for the African woman. So it's there. I don't know if I went all the way someplace else with something. You understand what I'm saying? But these things were just on my spirit today.
Even reciting it, I feel it as well. And even still, the energy of the situation. Of course, it needs to be addressed. Me, of course, being, that black female, being, Sandra Bland, was my sister, not, directly, but indirectly,
Right.
That, and so many others, like her, and it's so important. We cry justice. I think it's so important for us to understand, that we are that justice that we're crying out for, and when we truly reconnect with the ways of our ancient ancestors, then and unite on that spiritual front, we can deliver justice, as you said, that day ye shall dread, you talk about that, and that line, in the poem, that's significant of, I don't care what happens, in these courtrooms. It is my knowing, when we talk about karma and things like that, a person can get off scot-free, but that doesn't mean they got off scot-free. You see what I'm saying? And there are certain things in certain ways that justice is delivered. And when we reconnect to our, ancient sciences, we can tap into that, and I believe that we'll see less of these situations, and more of what we need to be seeing with our people. So, yeah, but we did take that somewhere else. But again, out of respect, for our sister, our fallen sister, I say.
Definitely. Not enough is said in regards to the atrocities that befall our people and our sisters in specific. They say you teach a man, you teach a man, you teach a woman, you teach a nation.
Come on now.
So that's in comparison to what it is. The first teacher of the child, that is the nation, the culmination of the nation. So
right.
not enough is said in regards to honoring the sanctity of the African woman. That's the nation. That is the nation. So I wanted to read something from page 4, and I wanted to see what your thought process was. It says, created for the cultivation of a nation and for the building of the temples in man. You laughed. It must have some weighty significance.
I'm wondering if you're done. Is there a period right there, or was that a comma?
It's a period right here. It says, created for the cultivation of a nation and for the building of the temples in man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you asking me what did I mean by that, or what?
Yes.
Why did I write that?
Yeah, all of that.
We're gonna go line by line. created for the cultivation of a nation. Obviously, this is, I'd like to think that everything that I write is my addition and my contribution to my people, close and far and wide, you know, from generation to generation to generation. It is my desire and aspiration, you know, that these writings that I do write, that they last for that, that they continue to be passed down, I should say, from generation. And by doing that, that in turn cultivates a nation. Because as you said, you know, I am a mother, and that is what a mother does, even in raising our children. There's certain things that you instill in your child to prepare them to be the parent that they need to be for their child, you know, and then that continues. And so likewise with different things and pieces of knowledge that we pass down, that in turn continues to cultivate a nation and build the temple within.
You have to ask the question.
Go ahead.
You have to ask the question. You know, it's there. I mean, art is art for many people, as they say, is subjective. You know, you might not have been in that mind frame of Sandra Bland that day, but you still carry that with you, you know, regardless when you sit down to create. You know, it might have been Corin Gaines, it might have been Harriet Tubman, it might have been, you know, someone from your ancestral line, whomever it was, all together pushing through the pen so the world can hear this outcry as a warning. To heed the warning, you know. Heed the warning.
And,
you know, it's time for, you know, those who heed the warning or hear the call of our ancestors, our sisters, our mothers, our daughters, our nieces, our aunts, you know, to stand up. One of the things that I know from African women is they try their hardest to not have to go there to engage in conflict. But when the outcry comes from that African woman, when the tears shed, when she begins to call for blood,
right,
you only got one choice. You don't got one choice. You don't want the other choice. You only have one choice. And it's not really a choice. It's a natural inclination. You know, so just,
absolutely,
you know, based off of that that time and space, you know, it's a lot that is, you know, heavy and burdensome in that kind of way, you know. So
you
I'll have
said,
to go ahead.
You know, you were saying, you know, you may not have been thinking about Sandra Bland and writing that and or this person or that. And that goes back, you know, again to what I say, you know, my tagline is my pen bleeds the voices of a million ancestors slain. I truly believe that, you know, and it has been, I can't even go past believe that. I truly know that to be true because it has been shown to me, you know, in a lot of different things. There's been things that I've written as far as my poetry that at the time I may have woven a second and a third dimension understanding in it. But then as I grow, you know, and then I go back and I listen to it, I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, I know when I put that in there, I meant this. But that is also true in, you know, ninth, tenth dimension of thought. But like, you see what I'm saying? Like, I didn't mean to put that in there like that.
So, and I think, you know, that's what keeps me humble about the writings, you know, that I do write, because I know that they come through me, you know, but they are indeed, you know, outside of me, and it's bigger than me, you know. I feel the message in these writings and everything else that I do, you know, is bigger than me. It's not about me, you know. I'm just a conduit, you know. I'm just the one who has tapped in and chose to bring it, you know, to my people and to do what I said I was going to do before I embodied in earth. And you talk about the woman, you know, even in, you know, we are likened unto the lions, and even in dealing with lions, you know, it's the lioness that goes out, you know, and hunts for the pride, you know. And you know, you better not mess with her babies. She will kill you. You know, she will indeed, as you said, want blood. I can remember, I would say probably about 5 years ago, I wrote a poem about the lioness wanting blood and drawing blood of that sense. So when you talk about that, you know, it put me in the mindset of that.
Well, most definitely. My mother always told me, she said, if you ever see me and a bear fighting, you better help the bear.
Okay. Because I am going to maul the shit out of that bear.
Right.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
What would you say was some of your, I would say, in the course of writing this, you know, over this period of time that you stated, like, what were some of your most, did you have any moments where you like, man, this right here or that right there, one of them ahas or come together kind of moments, like, okay, I'm definitely on the right track with this, you know, particular offering that I'm going to give. Were there moments, or was it just the sum total?
I would say last year, January, is when I, at the beginning of January, is when I kind of had that aha moment and saw it coming together as a story. As I said, I started the project, you know, probably 2017. But yeah, January 2018, coming from under this, you know, this personal spiritual thing that I do, you know, every year around the winter solstice, and then, you know, towards the beginning of January, that's when I wrote Unveiling of the Bride. It just literally came to me. I just heard the, you know, the beginning lines of it, and I just sat down and I wrote it. You know, a lot of my works, that's how I do them. I don't like sit and write a few lines and then go and think, and it, like, it all comes to me and I write it down, you know. And there's very little that I end up changing, you know. That's just how, you know, I receive it from the universe. But when I got that point, and then, like, later on that day, I got another one. And that's when it, and those two coupled with others that I already had, I was like, oh, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, this is what, you know, the ancestors want me to do. You know, this is what I'm supposed to be conveying with this. Because I for a while, you know, when I began writing the project, working on the project, you know, a lot of things, like I said, to a certain extent, I don't plan certain aspects of it, because I like to stay free and open-minded and you know, be able to, you know, tap into the ethers and listen to the ancestors and, you know, just as to how, you know, things are supposed to go.
So, you know, when I first started it, I was kind of like, okay, well, I know it's a poetry book, but like how, like what, you know, and I just, you know, I'm like, okay, well, don't get stuck on that, you know, just write, you know, as they come, just write. And that's what I did. But like I said, it was about a year, you know, year and a half into it before I realized, okay, this is what I'm doing. If that makes any sense. You know, I'm really saying it didn't make sense to me at first, you know, until, you know, about a year into it. Then I realized, you know, what it was that I was doing and creating and, you know, which direction to go with it.
Well, that's definitely amazing. You know, I ask artists all the time, do they pick up their paintbrush or their pen? And before they pick up their paintbrush or their pen, do they see the created works beforehand, or do they leave one mark and then the process begins to go? Or as does it develop together, you know, as a culmination of things? The stories is always amazing. So that's one of those artist questions that I ask artists, you know, whether it's an artist, whether it's a poet, whether it's an MC or whatever the case may be. Something always happens and you always get an amazing story. You see what I'm saying? So it's like you were somewhere quiet and you got these lines from to begin. You see what I'm saying? To continue on, like boom, 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 like that's amazing, right there. And I think oftentimes we neglect our natural inclinations to stay connected with spirit and with source, and we kind of shrug them off. You know, whether it's intuition, you know, whether it's a bad vibe or whatever the case may be, we find some kind of way to mask or ignore them, you know. And then we come back like, damn, I should have went with my first mind. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, either way, it's a blessing, but sometimes it's a lesson unnecessarily. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Ashe. You know, again, with the unveiling of the dark, I can remember the beginning of that poem. Like I said, I heard it, you know, in my mind, just a couple of first couple of lines of it. But to go even a step before that, as far as inspiration is concerned, I remember thinking back, you know, I'm remembering I was looking at one of my videos with me, you know, doing my spiritual dancing, you know, that I do as a part of my, you know, ritual, you know, here at my house, dancing to the Yoruba music and whatnot. But, you know, that's where I got, you know, about me dancing in the dark, you know, and the different things that go on with that video. You know, I would say, you know, it comes in different, you know, ways as far as inspiration, what inspires you. But as far as when it comes to actually putting the pen to the paper, for me, like I said, it's just, I hear it. You know, it's like, you know, somebody is literally sitting there saying, you know, kidnapped. The princess is stowed away aboard the pirate ship. Sometimes it's the rhythm, you know, of it that I get. You know, the flow of it, you know, I hear the melody, I guess, how if I was a songwriter, you know, the rhythm of something, and then I go put the words to it, you know, poetry. So it comes in different ways. It depends on, you know, I guess what type of poem, you know, I'm writing. If it's some type of, you know, one of those, you know, a poem that you want to get people riled up and, you know, corralled and, you know, or excite, you know, people, you know, that comes a certain way. Or, you know, they're the ones that have the slow and, you know, it's different. But sometimes it's melody, like I said, sometimes it's, you know, voice. Most of the time, you know, it's voice. But again, the inspiration, the initial inspiration comes from all different aspects, you know, of my life, different people, you know, different situations. So.
I was just looking at something, and my autograph. Yeah, I got an autograph, y'all. Y'all don't even know. My autograph was May 2nd. I said May 2nd, and May 2nd is the transition date of Queen Mother Moore, you know, with the original government of New Africa, who walked and organized with the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. So just like that, and my uncle Willie, his birthday is May the 2nd, you know, so it's kind of like all together culminating with, you know, nothing, like as you were saying, nothing happens by accident, you know, not even anything that we say, you know, there's some kind of connection to what it was, you know, so, you know, everything's done in divine order, and, you know, the significance of it reveals itself in its particular time.
So true. You said your Uncle Willis?
Yes. Yeah.
That's interesting, because I have an Uncle Willis who has transitioned.
So we are live with Queen Ega Africa. If y'all have any questions, if y'all have any comments and y'all listening, that phone number to call in 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. So if you have any questions or comments, have anything y'all want to say about Queen Ega Africa or 720 degrees of rhyme, all you have to do is press number 1. And just like that, Shazam, it's magic. You know, somebody press 1. So we do have a caller calling in from area code 817. Caller calling in from 817. In the building, your line is open. Area code 817. 817.
Alafia.
Alafia.
And bless you, host, for honoring this awesome young woman of our present and past, present, and future. I'm so excited and thankful that you have her on the show today with her first poetic book, 720 Degrees of Rhyme. I'm just so grateful. I just see so much that Father and the universe has in store for her as she brings us knowledge and understanding and wisdom from the cosmos. Ashe. And so this whole book is just magical. Magical, and to say it's the first, you know, it really tingles your spine and gets you ready for what's to come, because we definitely know that it's not the last, and there is so much that is going to be revealed through this powerful mother of ours, and I just give thanks and praise for you. Aye Africa, and like I said, with all the I've been listening to you guys, and I've really got some great understanding by you talking about some of the things about the book. It is a study. That's what I told Africa when I talked to her about it earlier. It's a study. It's not something you just pick up and glance over. You actually have to study it and get these things in your spirit and in your psyche to understand and appreciate what's going on. It's an awakening for so many of us. And my prayer is that it's just placed in the hands of thousands, you know, even millions. That's just my request from the universe to the universe.
Sure.
And if you will, I really would like you to read, if it's all right for me to ask, number 29, the house that mother built. I like that. Like I said, I love all, but this one is really interesting to me, and I'd like your thoughts on it, and I'll be listening.
Y'all is so beautiful. Can I say that real quick? Can I say that real quick? Y'all is beautiful. Y'all too. I'm telling y'all. Y'all don't get to do this to me twice without me saying something. Y'all got me the first time. The first time I was like, okay, all right. Now the second time I'm like, Mama just gonna sneak on here and just, you know, it's all good.
I do appreciate you, though, sir, for what all you're doing and allowing the voices to speak out. Too many of us just not aware how blessed we are, what the universe has given us continually. And I understand that my daughter, Africa, is not the only one. We are definitely headed toward a great end and new beginning, and it starts with the awakening. I'm learning and I'm understanding these days, and Africa is my daughter, and I taught her when she was young, and she used to be so amazed over the things that I knew, and I taught her, and I said one day, daughter, you will teach me, and she couldn't understand that. And to be honest, I really didn't understand the degree that I was saying it. But, oh, my God, it's just so evident today. And I'm grateful, and I'm humbled, and I'm a student, and I'm ready and willing to learn. So I just thank you for the platform. And I know that there's many more things for her to come, because it is of God. It is of the Father. It is of the universe. It is to happen. Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe. Ashe. Ashe. Oh. I love you, Mama.
I love you, baby. I love you. Yes.
Ashe. Well, since my mama then called and put me on the spot, I have no choice. I cannot tell her no, so...
It was one or other. It was number 13 for me today, you know, the hidden one or the house that mother built. So look at that.
So y'all done got together and put y'all little hulu into the universe. Y'all gonna be ganging up on me now.
Hey. We know you can.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, when I don't know knowledge, you want me to share that right now, or yes, I would like that, please.
I heard the switch come off the tree just now. My mama was like, "Boy, I'm
now go get that switch.
Go get that
go
switch.
Get
I heard
here.
It." I heard the twig pop. I was like, oh, man, let me get out of this, you know, and let the magic happen.
Okay, here we go. She used no wood or sticks, only intellectual bricks and self-created mortar composed of her waters and arithmetic. She was a testatrix, willing to us the residents of her matrix. She uses a messenger who tempts you with tricks. But even that was done in love. Her originality don't quit. Amalgamated perfectly, woven together like a quilt. All things work congruently in the house my mother built. The driveway, but a path to the metaphoric attic. Each step taken transfigures one to a state of being pneumatic.
No doors, no windows, no hinges or nails. The blueprint of her soul is all its construction entails. She wailed and travailed to give birth to balanced scales. The clock on the wall read thrice. 6 and 9 does it tell. Like a high priest performing the ritual at Yom Kippur, she sacrificed her essence to create so atonement would be needed no more. And when the temple is destroyed, the heart suffices as a venue for its encore. She extracted our spirit from uranium ore, created plutonium and made us nuclear reactors. She has even provided the power coming from the indwelling tower in the house my mother built. No couches, no beds, no chairs or pictures, only a cookbook in a non-existent kitchen. No silverware or plates, for the meal dined upon is fate. No cups needed, mother has released the floodgates. She laid waste to all the excess that was not used, removed the garbage that left their souls bruised. Her fireplace, though not physically there, makes all impurities melt. One by one they roll in as if on a conveyor belt. Once broken people now repaired and without guilt. All her children must find their way back home to the house my mother built.
I say. I love that. I just love that. My. What was the inspiration for this particular piece? And I mean, how did it come? What were you thinking about?
The inspiration behind it, of course, was the story that, one of the inspirations, because there's a lot woven into it, but of course, was what you just stated, you know, about my youth coming up in the church and seeing my mother doing all the spiritual work, you know, that you did, and me seeing you do as a child, and all the different women that you helped, you know, with your spiritual ministry, you know, that indeed left a great mark on me, and it set a standard for me, spiritually. Wow. You know, I looked at you and how you carried yourself and how you aimed to, you know, be that picture of, you know, a quote-unquote woman of God, you know, with what we knew that to be at that time. You know, you were that. And so, likewise, me being created in your image, physically and spiritually, genetically, you know, there's so many things that I see about myself that comes from my mother, you know, and the things that you instilled in me and the spiritual house that you first laid the first brick, you know, hammered the first nail when you chose to walk a certain way and live a certain life in front of us and show us spiritual things and how they were to be taken seriously and that they indeed can and will restructure your life, you know, one way or another. You know, so of course, you know, there was that, and then also, you know, there was a lot of spiritual symbolic meanings woven in there as well, about the path and us dealing, us having the knowledge of our Heavenly Mother and our Heavenly Father. You know, we have a right brain and a left brain, you know. So when we consider both aspects, you know, in that balance, you know, these things that are being discussed are symbolically talking about that side of the house, you know, that divine feminine principle. So that was a lot of the inspiration in that point.
I said. Go put that switch up, boy. Who told him to go get that switch? go put that switch up. No. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm honored. You know, it's a perfect day, and it's such a blessing to be sharing. And once again, I thank the host for the opportunity. The only thing that's missing is your dear father, Anthony Ray Stinson, whose birthday we shared last month.
Okay.
His birthday we recognized last month, and that's the only thing that's missing. I realize who he is in your life also, and there's just no mistaking in what was done and delivered to earth March 22nd, 1979. And we named you and we loved you and we did all we could do for you and with you with the knowledge that we had at the time. But the universe was determined not to be denied. And so it's brought up and created and stands stands amidst the people today. An awesome woman with a destiny, with the fortitude, with the tenacity, just to be and to bring about all that she knows she's called to do. And I'm just so proud. Oh, God, I guess I just better get off here, because I'm telling you, it'll be a whole show about mama and how, but I'm so grateful to be your mother. And I'm just amazed at the things that are coming from you. And I just ask to be here to see much, much more. I see you on a higher platform, just a higher platform. Never despise small beginnings, but I see you on a higher platform, even as something like the Good Morning America show or platforms as such, and I'm prophesying now. And I'm just grateful for small beginnings. I'm grateful to be able to say I was on the show and I talked to Ida Africa. You know, they're going to be like, you don't know her. I'm like, what? But no, I'm going to release the line, God. Thank you for allowing me my time.
I say thank you, Mama, for calling and all your support and love and everything that you've given me and continue to give me to allow me to continue growing into the woman that I'm supposed to be. I say.
So this is how y'all go into the history books. I don't know how much further y'all could go into the history books. I was asked, you know, out of all of the shows, what were some of your most memorable shows? And, you know, for this reason right here, you know, Mama coming through again, you know, like Mama came through, you know, on the last show. You know, that's evidence of a timeless dynasty right here. You are a timeless dynasty, you know, and y'all created a timeless dynasty for the world to glean from, you know, and yeah, so we're just honored to be able to share in, you know, the sanctity and the sacredness of your creation, you know, and everything that emanates and flows from that brilliant creative mind of Queen Africa. So I'm deeply honored and thankful to be able to be in a position to recognize the sacredness of her talent, her art, her skills, her heart, her level of commitment, and her willingness to help and to share and to provide nurture and nature to many of us who are on this path. And you know, that love and also that correction. So just honored to facilitate a sacred conversation in this particular space in a time that mother's love is much needed, you know, and this healing and this reconciliation and this space of reformation that is so needed, that great mother, that divine mother that continues to guide us, you know. Sometimes we try our best not to do what mama said, So we always wind up doing what Mama said, whether we want to or not. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
So these things bring you back into view and into focus. So thank you, Mama, for calling in. I think I'd have been tugging at my heart a little bit if I didn't hear from you on the air.
I say.
All right. So we are approaching that time. So either one of y'all got something that y'all want to say before we go. I don't think we can go anywhere else after this. You know what I'm saying? So just thankful for your time, your candor, your spiritual gifts, and your ability to share here on the platform. Brought a great energy and a great restorative and resurrective type of spirit to, you know, a space of gloom here today. So we're going to continue to move forward in that spirit. Please let everyone know where they can get the books. And if there's anything else you want to share upcoming that you can share as a kind of caveat to the sacred text here, we would appreciate it and how people can get a hold of you and support you.
Absolutely. You can find 720 Degrees of Rhyme as well as A Timeless Dynasty on my website, houseofiyamiaje.com. That's houseofiyamiaje.com. You know, there's everything that, and there's links there to everything that I have going. Also, for those who may want to follow me on Facebook to get the latest updates with things that I have going, on Facebook, I am Iya Africa Oyenile Olobunmi. So for those who would like to follow me there, also here in the very near future, I am creating a Patreon account where I will, well, building it, I should say, where I'll have a lot of different footage and a lot of information compiled, never before seen. Knowledge videos, just different sides of me, just being a little bit more open with those who choose to support me as I continue my journey to uplift fallen humanity. So information for that, all that information will be on my Facebook page. You can check out my poetry, Africa's Poetic Rites, for all the previous works that I've done. There's spoken word videos as well as written poetry there for you to check out. Timeless Dynasty, again, Facebook page. To get a sneak peek at another part of A Timeless Dynasty, you can visit the website at atimelessdynastynovel.webs.com. There's an excerpt from another chapter that you can only find there. Be on the lookout for A Timeless Dynasty 2. That's more than likely going to be coming around the end of mid to end 2020.
Yay.
So I have a project in the working. And other than that, I would guess that's pretty much it. I just want to say, moyu bye 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 tonu boboy guni yami, moyu bye 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 tonu boboy gun baba me. I say I pay homage and give praises to all my ancestors in my father's bloodline. I pay homage and give praises to all my ancestors in my mother's bloodline. And again, Knowledge, I want to thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate everything that you do, and you utilize your platform to allow others to share what it is that they have going. And it is indeed a beautiful thing, and I am honored to be able to utilize your platform to get my voice and my endeavors out to the world as well. May you continue, may the ancestors continue to provide for you, protect you.
Ashley.
In all that you love.
Ashley.
as Queen Mother has stated, reach those right and intended people wherever they are, and that all of your laudable works and offerings that are sacred, honest, and true reach everyone who needs it for generations to come. So I'm always here, always going to be a space of service, you know, to support you in your endeavors as you continue to share your gifts with us fallen humanity over here. You understand what I'm saying? So you're always welcome at any time, regardless to whom or where. So thank you again.
I'm sorry. I want to interject. I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off. But before you go, I have a request. I would like to, if you don't mind, sir, you know I'm about to put you on the spot, in 720 Degrees of Rye on page 8, there's an ode to Iya Africa. And it says there that it was written by a dedicated fan, and I'm going to go on the record and exclusively say on your show, yes, ladies and gentlemen, that the brother Knowledge Born wrote that beautiful ode for me that was touched me so
now,
greatly.
I was wondering who wrote that.
Yes, it was the brother. Yes, it was Knowledge Born. And I just, again, like I said, I wanted to, you know, just to officially thank you for that and give credit where credit is due. And if you could, if you don't mind, if it's okay with you, if you could read that before we go.
Oh, please. Oh,
yeah,
how laid it on thick too. Laid it on thick and brought back up. Look at that. Look at that. See that?
Oh,
yeah, the woman. I tell you, they know. How to get you to reach your divine petition. I tell you. Right. All right, let me get this together. I ain't did this in 50 years. Let me see.
Oh, God. Oh, Africa.
She is called Africa, like the continent, like consciousness in her vastness as a mother force. Her majesty is masculine. She is master in her majesty, humbly gracing us with her constant dedication, for in essence, she is Africa, which is an elevation, born on the path and built with sacred greatness. She is Africa, so alluring to the uninitiated. They take the opportunity for unity to commune. Their petty attempts are consumed by the fumes presented by her flame, enough to drive the sanest man insane, who would seek to lay claim or misrepresent the name of her, Mother Africa. Iya, full of spirit, full of Ashe, unlimited potential and essence wrapped as a present, as a gift to uplift, a gift to heal, a gift that is real, a gift to instill the wisdom of the ancestors clothed in the most sacred of flesh. Been through many trials and stood every test. She reigns undisputed, the true and living, breathing life from her chest with every breath. She is called Africa, a true gift of our ancestors, manifested in flesh.
Oh, wow. I say, I'm not the only one who sees it. Thank you. Thanks to the cosmos, to the ancestors. Oh, awesome. I love it, Knowledge. Thank you.
Indeed, me too.
Awesome.
Yeah, we
y'all
have, we
to,
have a
y'all
bright
have
future.
Y'all ain't have to jump me, you know, say to get it out. Y'all could just say, hey. Double team to get that out.
Well, I had to make sure, you know, that there was absolutely no way that you would say no, you know, so. Yeah.
Hey, please. Thank you for honoring us. Thank you.
Well, it was definitely
so beautiful.
Something that I saw that, you know, again, oftentimes there are things that, you know, folks fall for what's immediate. You know, the other folks used to call it the low-hanging fruit. You see what I'm saying? So you could get trapped there if you aren't wise and if you are not spiritually inclined. And the very thing that could draw you to someone would be the same thing that would have you banished from them. You see what I'm saying? So to look a lot deeper, you know, and in there, it's an ode in respect to African women, you know, period. And again, thinking about my mother, you know, my mother, you know, I was with her in her presence when, you know, this man approached her, and, you know, her and I were out celebrating together, you know, so we were doing the Madonna and child, the mother and son kind of connection. You know, I was away in the military and I came home and she was like, "We going to party." I was like, "All right." You understand what I'm saying? So we went out there and, you know, we were celebrating, you know, and this man came and he was interested in my mother, and, you know, I'm protective over my mother as if she needed protection. So she was like, he's been trying to get with me for 35 years. So I'm like, all right, you know, my defenses go back down. We get back to partying or whatever. And he took us to this diner after. And, you know, he's over there. He's talking to my mother. And my mother is talking to me, and she's talking to the owner. And, you know, she told the owner, "Oh, this is my son. You know, he came back in town from the military, blah, blah, blah. He's home from the war and this and this." And she was like, "He speaks Arabic, right?" So I'm talking to the owner in Arabic, telling me, "Give me what you eat, or it'd be a problem." You understand what I'm saying? And so the guy is looking at my mother talking to this man and looking at me talking to this man in Arabic and going back and forth in English with my mother and him, you know. So he's bugged out. And then there was a conversation that happened across from us, and, you know, I kind of put that into the conversation, and the man was like, you know, "Well, like, where did you get this knowledge from?" You know, in short, and I'm like, I said, "Where have you been?" You know, I said, you're my elder. I'm supposed to be getting this information from you.
Right.
I said, "I didn't say anything new here. I didn't say anything new here." I said, "Malcolm taught it. I said, Elijah taught it." I said, "As a matter of fact, if you can't grasp that concept," I said, "everybody, when Malcolm spoke, the world listened. Everybody loved Malcolm. Malcolm was a great orator. He had that way to motivate and mobilize people." I said, "But Malcolm had a teacher."
Yes.
I said, "Malcolm's teacher was Elijah."
Yes.
And I looked at the man with all the respect in my heart. I said, "I'm Malcolm. My mother is Elijah." I said, "So if you cannot handle Malcolm, I don't think you're going to be ready for Elijah."
Come on, man. You better
so, the man respectfully paid for our meal and went about his business.
Got the heck out of it.
Okay. I love it. I
should. Indeed. And such is the lonely road of the woman with knowledge.
So just, you know, thinking of that in that regard, you know, oftentimes we can get things misconstrued, you know, and misrepresented. Okay. So
that's right.
Everything that looked good to you may not be good for you. That's what they used to tell me back in the day.
That's it. It's not yours. It don't belong to you.
Right. And owed to what I saw, you know, I was, you know, blessed enough to be able to see and, you know, Queen Ia's work ethic and her heart and her dedication to the nurture and the restorative nature of our people, you know, especially our sisters. You know, the time and the effort and, you know, seeing all of the things going on behind the scenes from what I could see, you know, this was an old truth. So in addition to that, adding in the sacred writings, the Timeless Dynasty and the 720 degrees of rhyme, and, you know, the work with the house and with, you know, the resonance and all of that, I was like, you know, a man coming with a lustful eye ain't got a damn clue to what's going on.
Oh,
so these were like, right. I ain't even gonna say chance. I'm like a clue. You could, because in order for you,
right.
if you had a clue, you would know you ain't have no chance. You understand what I'm saying? So putting this all together and, you know, laying this out, you know, these are small words to describe, you know, the vastness that exists there.
I love you, knowledge. I love you for that. Thank you.
Just dedicated thank fan, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you for having me, knowledge, and for doing what you do.
My duty. It's my duty. Otherwise, I meet with my mama and she going, whoop my behind again.
She actually said, them bud whoopings from the other side. Them bud whoopings from the other side ain't no joke now.
Oh, yeah. I know it. I sure do.
They ain't no joke.
Well, we're going to go. So, you know, yeah, this is yours. Keep, you know, to do with it as you please. May it be some sort of help in, you know, reaching those millions of people and getting those millions of people to make a investment in their transformation for your products, for your services, and for your authorship. Is that a word? Authorship. That's right. You know.
Authorship. Yes. Absolutely. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, brother.
And I have a great day because I made mine. The sun shining a little brighter. The heat in the flames is a little greater, you know. So I'm going to work on my tan.
All right, brother. You have an enlightening and inspiring day.
Be blessed.
And all your listeners and all those listening do the same.
All right. Have a good one. All right, family, we're about to get up out of here. Make sure y'all go get this book, 720 Degrees of Rhyme. Make sure y'all go get The Timeless Dynasty. Make sure y'all make the investment in your transformation from these transformative words transcribed into these sacred texts. We have to support our own and continue on moving forward. Shout out to Queen Ia Africa and Queen Mother for calling in. Y'all made my day. So we're going to continue to uplift the African woman and the African family and be the vanguard and protective force on every level for our restoration, resurrection, and rise. So we're going to get up out of here. We got one track by my brother B. Dot, Missing You, for all our loved ones who have transitioned to the ancestral realm.
Yeah. boo, this shit is foul. My ace boom room, we used to do this as a child. I can't believe where we at in the here and now. I know you probably mad, but I'm hoping you hear me out. Was on the same road, but you chose in a different route. Young niggas banging, exposing it for the clout. But we was better than that, you know it without a doubt. I had plans for you. You was bleak, I was Jay. All the homies would go crazy off the heat we would play. I am my brother's keeper, keep a hand on the heater. But I ain't been the same since you got locked, bro, I need you. This is real shit through the speakers. Fuck the blood shit and fuck the gang shit. This is that big brother love shit. I hate to see you get watched by the system. I should've did more. While you behind the bars, you who I live for, nigga. Verses I sent you. Damn, how many times I said I miss you? I dried up all the tears, I don't even need a tissue. Your son going through some things, I know it's all mental. He ain't been the same since you left, and it's different now. And you probably wanted us to be close, but we distant now. And I'm missing how. You would always have the biggest smile. You was a Q fan, that was more than a Jigga style. Uncle D, one second to none. You was loved around the hood, you drew breath in the lungs of the young. I got the phone call, they said you had lupus. I'm looking up to God like, how could you do this? My mama said don't even go and see you, cause you wasn't looking like yourself. You was losing your health and she felt like I couldn't handle it. This shit was damaging, I'm missing you. Forever I'ma always keep a candle lit. You ever change, they need to know your name. You remind them of the pain. Tell them all about me, I was murdered, I was slain. Stood my ground like a queen, to my door they shouldn't have came. Let freedom ring, they try to make our people sing the national anthem like we a part of this nation. Tell them we need revolution, reminiscing of Haitian. Don't have your energy wasted, got no time for debating. Get the Hebrews, the Moors, and get all the Kemetics. Get the Yorubas and Igbos, that's how you connect it. Put the differences aside, ask them all, could they ride for me? I die for y'all, would you die for me? And I accept your apology. Honestly, this came to me in the form of a dream. Cora Gaines was speaking to me, what does all of this mean? Told her we missing her, I promised we would honor the queen. Cora Gaines, rest in peace to Cora Gaines. Free my little brother, Theo Alexander. Free all the homies that's locked up, Big Struck. All the real ones, feel me? Rest in peace to my Uncle Derek. Rest in peace to my Uncle Tad Al. Missing you. Yeah.